Oh, hell. Oh, hang on. What happened? Mate, can you hear me? Well, hello, RBN listeners. Good evening and welcome to the first letter from America. This is Scottish John here in Austin, Texas. And for my first show, I decided to call it Letter from America by way of a kind of introduction to me and how I came to be where I am today. And so I decided to call this particular episode From King William to Hank Williams. Because on Friday, certain people back in old Britain there, particularly Ireland, or the north of Ireland and Scotland, celebrated the 12th of July, which is the anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. And that was a battle that was fought by the Protestant King William, who I just found out today doing research for this show, actually, I often wondered, how did he get on the English throne? I remember being told he occupied the English throne because it was vacant at the time. And I never ever bothered finding out exactly how that came to be. Well, I find out today, the English throne was vacant then because the Parliament sacked the previous king. Now, I never knew that was a thing they could do. And what got me wondering, well, could they do the same today? So when I get time, I'm going to find that out. Now, what's going on over there at the moment? You know what's going on here with this big news over here is the Epstein story. Well, I'm going to kind of give that a body swear. But an interesting thing happened last night. I was watching a video on YouTube on it because obviously I'm following current events and this is an interesting story because of the repercussions that might come out of this. And there was two names mentioned in this thing, and that was Edgar Bronfman and Robert Maxwell. Well, back in the 1980s, when I'd gone to work in London, I'd gone there seeking work as an actor, and like most aspiring actors, you worked as a part-time waiter or butler to keep yourself fed. And I worked for both of these people. Edgar Bronfman, he was the chairman of, or the owner of Seagram's at the time, and Robert Maxwell, who was the editor of a big daily newspaper called the Daily Mirror. And I just thought, wow. You see some of the people that you've met in the past and you don't know anything about them, and then you find out their lurky, murky pasts, you know. But anyway, we'll get on to that another day. For the time being, I'm just going to take a wee mouthful of tea here and kind of kick off. Well, let's say, this story of the 12th of July, it was a big part of my life for a long, long time. the commemoration of this battle that took place. And over the years, a lot of Scots and Irish emigrated to America, as well as many other places. A lot of them were forcibly removed, particularly from the Highlands of Scotland and the south of Ireland. The English were very, very, very clever at manipulating people back then. And Scotland, at the, check my notes here, around about the 1650s, or was it the 1560s, they had what they called the Protestant Reformation. Around about 1560. And it ended 500 years of papal rule in Scotland, and they all became Presbyterians or Protestants. I'm not sure what the terminology they used in those days. I'm kind of glad I wasn't around them, because they were obviously very, very religious, and I'm not a religious man. But anyhow, the English government were able to use this kind of thing to their advantage, because of all the trouble they were having in Ireland. They offered a lot of the Scottish Protestants land and farming land in the north of Ireland if they would move over there and help to control the Irish, which they did, you know, and it worked for a while. Then finally they had that famous battle in 1690, the Battle of the Boyne, where King Billy fought the Catholic King James. Now, there's a clip that I want Mike to play here, and I'll set it up for you. It's some guy wearing the Orangeman sash taking part in an orange walk, and I'm guessing it must have been around about 2014, the year of the Scottish independence referendum. And at the time, a guy called Alex Salmond was the leader of the Scottish National Party then. And if Mike can play that clip, and then I'll explain it to you afterwards, because it's very, very funny, and I'll explain why it's very, very funny. So have you got that clip, Mike? Good man. Hey, Chance, if you're still listening.
Many have Scottish ancestors, and they do not like the Scottish National Party one bit.
Alex Salmond, to me, is a born-again Jacobite. He's still living in the 17th century.
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little too
Now, that's funny, because your man there obviously knows nothing about history. He refers to Alex Salmond being a Jacobite stuck in the 17th century. Well, actually, he's the one that's stuck in the 17th century, because the Jacobites didn't come into existence for about another 30 years in the 18th century, when we had the two Jacobite rebellions, which are a big famous part of Scottish history. First one took place in 1715, and the second one in 1745, where we had the famous Bonnie Prince Charlie, the little Italian Scotsman, but we won't dwell on him. But it's just, you know, for someone like me, it's just very, very sad that these people are so ignorant and stupid, and they know nothing about history. And having said that, you know, I was doing some research today looking for articles, and I got myself to thinking, well, what did I get taught in history when I was at school? And really, the only thing I can remember was we knew the dates of certain kings and queens who were on the English throne, and we were taught very, very little about Scottish history. And of course, now we know the reason why, because why would the English government want to teach the Scottish people the truth about their own history? because in the damn well we wouldn't be very happy about it. It was a very pleasant time to be around. And this song that opened the show up there, Letter from America, by these two twin brothers called the Proclaimers, Craig and Charlie Reed, they sort of hit it big in the 80s, and the 80s was another turbulent time in Britain. We'd had a Prime Minister called Edward Heath, a Tory Conservative Prime Minister, and he was doing stuff that was upsetting a lot of working class people, and it came to a head when the miners, all the coal miners, went on strike and actually managed to bring his government down. Well, some years later, the famous Margaret Thatcher came to power and swore that she would demolish, destroy the trade union movement for what they'd done to her party years earlier. Now, one of the things I noticed today, looking for just some little notes to make things interesting about that period, as I say, that song Letter from America, I think came out in 1987. And those were very turbulent years. We lost a lot of jobs, not only in Scotland, throughout Britain, but our industries were just disappearing. Our traditional industries like shipbuilding and mining and textiles, which was my particular industry. So these two guys wrote this song, Letter from America, which spoke about the people having to leave, to go to America, look for a better life. And I always remember when I decided that I was going to come over here, and having been a musician for quite some time and an aspiring songwriter, I thought to myself, well, when you go, will you send back a letter from America? I thought, well, I'm going to try and write a response to that song. Now, I've got to be honest and say it's still a work in progress because I haven't done much on it. But I noticed, I found a little article because I was hoping to find maybe an interview of the two guys talking about how they came to construct that song, because it's very, very special to Scottish people. I didn't find what I was looking for, but I found a little clip, and of all places, it was made by the BBC. And their business and economy editor, who goes by the name of Douglas Fraser, which kind of suggests to me that the guy might be Scottish, yeah. So there's a line in the song where they talk about all the blood that flowed away and would they ever come back. So this Muppet has written a little paragraph here, and he says, whereas the Proclaimers were singing in Letter from America about emigration and all the blood that flowed away, the past 15 years have seen that flow reversed with the arrival of immigrants particularly, and I'm not making this up, I swear, the arrival of immigrants, particularly from Poland and the Baltic states. Now, that's the mindset of someone working for the BBC. Go figure, eh? That's a good excuse for me to practice my Gaelic, which I can't do on air, obviously. But anyway, one of the other things I was looking at was the history of music, because, as I say, I wanted to go from King William or Fort William, I decided on King William because of the date, to Hank Williams. Now, one of the other articles I looked at was another very famous incident in Scottish history that again involves that Dutch King William, King Billy as they called him. There was an incident happened in Scotland in a place called Glencoe. Now, Glencoe is one of the most scenic places you could ever see. It is absolutely beautiful. But it has this dark history, unfortunately. In order to sort of achieve his aims, King William, he set up this horrible thing where the old tradition in the Scottish Highlands with the clans used to be that they were always very friendly and very hospitable people. So if there was, for any reason, somebody from another clan had to go on a journey somewhere, and it involved maybe overnight traveling, you would visit another clan's neighborhood, and they would put you up for the night. They'd feed you, put you to bed, let you give you a breakfast in the morning, and send you on your way. Now, what happened with this incident? It involved two clans, the Campbells and the McDonalds. And the Campbells played the part of the visiting clan who came to the McDonalds neighborhood. And in the middle of the night, they got up and attempted to slaughter the entire clan of the McDonalds. And they managed to kill, they killed about 35 of these people. And this action, it was sanctioned and implemented by the Crown with the approval of the lowland elites, as they were called in those days. All these landowners, because Scotland and England had been fighting for hundreds of years, as had Ireland and England. The English had invaded Ireland, God, about the 1100s, and probably like the same in Scotland. And this was just one of the manifestations of it. And this was another one of these occasions that led again to a migration of Scottish people to places like America, Canada, even Australia. Some of it was forced, some of them went willingly because they had no choice. They had to get away. Now, there's an interesting little thing that I found out researching this story, and it involves a certain gentleman by the name of Johnny Cash. Now, Johnny Cash was a descendant. He did an ancestry search, and he found out that he was a descendant of a King Malcolm IV, who was a king in Scotland in the 12th century. And years later, one of his descendants, a guy called William Cash, sailed here with the Pilgrims in 1612, where they were greeted by John Wayne, who said, "Hello, Pilgrims." Sorry, I just made that last bit up. I couldn't stop myself. Anyway, so with Johnny Cash having that royal blood in him, the blood of a Scottish king, I kind of thought today, well, you know, I'll try and inject a wee bit of humour here from time to time and keep it light. And I just wondered why he never did a recording of that famous Ned Miller song, "From a Jack to a King," and he could have called it, his version of it, he could have called it "From a Jock to a King." Ba-dum-tsh. All right, I haven't got the sound effect. So, just so happened that with the history of country music starting back then, because a lot of the Scots and the Irish, they were all fiddle players back in those days, and they happened to bring their fiddles. Oh, which we've never perceived. So, feeling the amber current flow across my mind and warm my empty heart, she left so cold.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Frontsight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Frontsight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning.
Well, it's a bloody merry morning, baby. Left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm
flying down to Houston. We're getting Thursday.
As we taxi toward the runway with the smog and haze reminding me of how I feel.
Just a country boy who's learning that the echoes of the city are extremely real.
All the nightlife and the parties, yeah. Temptation and deceit, the order of the day. Well,
it's a bloody merry morning, cause I'm leaving baby somewhere in L.A.
Alright, thank you, Willie.
Mr. Willie Nelson, thanks a lot, pal. One of my favourites. I used to do a Bertie tribute gig to him every year here in Austin. And, you know, the live music capital of the world, Austin. That's what they used to call it. And I remember the days when he actually used to get paid and you could pay your band guys maybe $50. All that changed after a few years. And it became an open mic gig. You'd have these venues that would offer you an open mic. You could come and play an open mic and they would chuck you a beer, you know, just to give yourself exposure. Yeah, that's the life of a musician in the live music capital of the world. Anywho, moving along. So, the Scottish and Irish guys that came over and settled in the Appalachians, or Appalachians, as I've heard some people pronounce it. I've always known it to be the Appalachians. And I remember coming over here in 98. I flew into New York because I had a Scottish buddy living there and I wanted to visit him for a while. Plus, I wanted to do a bit of travelling around the country before I came to settle in Austin. And one of my most memorable days was traveling down through the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, and then through the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. I'll never forget that. It was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Just, it reminded me of the Highlands of Scotland, like Glencoe there. And so anywho, Trying to find the link to Hank Williams. All right, I confess, I didn't get that far. I actually didn't get that far. I got as far as the Carter family, who I mentioned a moment ago. Because the little show that I was watching, I think it was a YouTube program called The History of Country Music, they went from those days back when the Scottish and Irish fiddle players came here and brought their music with them, and they went right through to the 1980s to that nice little girl who plays a violin. Her name's escaped me for the moment, but they never mentioned Hank Williams. Didn't even mention Bob Wills, who I was going to talk about. And but it reminded me of a time when I was a kid. You know, they talked about all these families in the Appalachians there having family get-togethers, and they all played music, and they'd all get together after church on a Sunday and what have you, and be banging out the music. And it reminded me of when I was a kid. My family was the same, actually. I remember Hogmanay's or New Year's Eve in my grandparents' house, and I had these two great uncles, and one of them played the fiddle and one of them played the accordion. And actually, one of them turned out to be the music teacher of a school I started, because we moved. When my parents got a house in a town down the road, I went to the school, and lo and behold, there was my Uncle Bill. He was a music teacher, and he wanted to teach me to play the violin and the piano. And I says, "Are you kidding?" I say, "If all of my pals know that I'm learning to play the piano and the violin, I'm going to get the crap kicked out of me every night I leave school." So unfortunately, I couldn't take him up on his offer. Of course, I wish now that I had done. But just great memories of that music being played in the house. Wonderful. Plus, I had some uncles that used to sneak us a mouthful of beer, you know, which was pretty cool when you were only about 10 years old. Anywho. So, where was I going to go? The history of country music, sadly, took a turn some years ago. I guess just round about the time I was coming over to America. And it wasn't very good, to say the least. And after a while, I got to thinking, actually. I says, why is this happening? This country music is a big, big part of American culture, and why is this happening to it? And of course, by this point in time, I'm beginning to be a bit of a conspiracy nut, and I wondered, well, is this what they're trying to do, to do away with the American culture? I'd found out, I'd learned something earlier, take myself back to London here. Broadcasting Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Up this morning, it was drizzling rain. Around the curb, come a passing train. Heard somebody
Okay, one of my heroes, Mr. Waylon Jennings. Thanks to him, I almost had an incident like Ned Beatty did in that movie Deliverance. I'll tell you about that another time. There may be children listening. Now listen, if anybody wants to call in and ask anything, please do. Cost you, it's free, isn't it? You all know the number. I'm going to have to go to the page and look for a number here. I don't have it memorized. It's, bum, 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 bum. It's 800-313-9443. There you go. A phone number. 10 digits. All right, let's get back here. We're just having a wee couple of wee issues with the computers here, because this is the first time for me. This is and I'm not a very high-tech guy. I'm not a high-tech redneck, like that song said. I can't remember who did it, but somebody was a high-tech redneck, but it ain't me. So, some good news from back across the pond. Her Madge, old Elizabeth there, she got a wee pay rise. She's now getting £82 million per year. Nice to know she's not struggling. But I heard a great wee story last week, and this is the second time this has happened. Somebody managed to get inside Buckingham Palace and found her way to her bedroom and walked in. Now, I don't know what this guy's deal was, but obviously she woke up and he looks at her and he says, "Who are you?" And she says, "Wibbibib." And he says, "What?" And she says, "Wibbibib." Well, now we know the Queen has dentures, because there they were sitting in a glass by the side of the bed, and that's why she couldn't pronounce her own name. And this guy's wondering, who the hell's this lady, Wibbibib, that I'm talking to here? Never found out what happened to him, but second time somebody got into the old palace there. I'm curious to know how this is going to pan out, because there was another little story come up there. The British police, they're in the process of investigating 1,400 men, both living and dead, for alleged child abuse crimes. Now, what I'm thinking about the Epstein thing here is, of course, we're all curious. Now, Jimmy Savile, you may have heard about, was this guy who we found out after he died, 8 years ago, 2011? And we actually found out that he was a monster. But he was a monster with very close ties to the royal family and to Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister at the time. And I wonder, in the intervening years, I've only heard of two or three people that have actually served prison time for this. One of them was a well-known kind of pop star of the 80s, a guy called Gary Glitter. Another couple, one was a TV local news presenter up in the Manchester area where I used to live. And the other one was this Australian guy who showed up on British television years ago and actually got to paint portraits of the Queen. And of course, you'll have heard that Prince Andrew is one of the names in this Epstein debacle over here. So the next few weeks could be very, very interesting, just to see who's going to take the rap. Hang on, I'm getting a message here. All right, we've got Dave in Nevada. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you, pal. Hi, how's it going? Thanks for calling in.
No problem. I just wanted to say hello. I've never heard your show before, but...
You wouldn't have done. You wouldn't have done, mate, unless you're a psychic, because this is my first one.
Oh, no figure. you were talking about music earlier. I don't know, you're Irish, am I not correct? Or you're Scottish?
No, you're not correct. You're Scottish. I'm Scottish, yeah. Hence the name, Scottish John.
Okay, I didn't hear that part. Anyways, I used to have I had Irish friends back in the day, and they would play a lot of old traditional Irish music and things like that, so I know the origins of country music. They go back to basically the old countries like Scotland and Ireland with the fiddle and all that stuff. And Waylon's one of my favorite singers of all time as well.
Oh God, yeah.
But I think what you were alluding to was a conspiracy theory in music and why you think country music kind of died at a certain point in time. I kind of understand what you're saying. I think what you were driving at was that it might have been a move to destroy culture, like what's considered like traditional culture, which is based in music. Uh-huh. All cultures have a traditional style of music. And the American traditional style kind of comes from that area, what you're talking about, the Appalachian area and things like that. That's where country music comes from, because it's from the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what you're alluding to, but I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, that was pretty much it. Of course, the music business has been for years. It's about selling records. And you look at the demographics of it. Who are the biggest buying record people? Their age group, it's what, 12 to 16-year-olds?
Right.
And I think that's what I think they did that to part of the reason, I'm guessing, is they'd try and produce some kind of music that these kids would buy. And when you look at some of the so-called country stars that emerged from this, I mean, it broke my heart, man, because I developed a real passion for country music. I used to hate it when I was a kid because my old man used to listen to it. God, when I was a teenager and I heard my old man playing Hank Williams, oh, jings, I wanted to dive out the window. And then years later, I'm one of Hank Williams' biggest fans. In fact, when I came to Austin, I met a girl who ran an annual bash at one of the clubs here, the Hank Williams birthday bash, and she gave me a spot on it. And in the Austin Chronicle, which is a weekly free newspaper the following week, they published three photographs of that evening. And there was a guy that said looked a lot like Hank Williams, and there was another guy dressed a lot like Hank Williams. And the third guy, lo and behold, they said sounded most like Hank Williams. Guess who the third guy was? Me. figure, eh?
Yeah, but I'm just like you. I grew up, actually, I hated country music, too, and I did not like Hank Williams. But then I just, your taste, you know, you grow up and your taste change, and I'm also a huge Bob Wills fan. I love Bob Wills.
Oh God, yeah, man, yeah.
I think he's actually like I call him one of those. He's like an actual musical genius in his own right.
I was friends with his daughter Rosetta for a few years when I first came to Austin. She moved away, unfortunately, and over a period of a few years, I had the great good fortune to play some music with some of the guys that used to be in his band. His drummer, his pedal steel player, and one other guy. I don't remember their names, unfortunately. And I actually played a few gigs and I had a band. I got this guy on pedal steel guitar, by the name of Jimmy Grabowski. And he played with Hank Williams here in Austin. Hank's last official gig before he hit the road. I think he was heading to Ohio, where he died on the way there. You know, so that was a hell of a thrill for me getting to play with these musicians, man. Anyway, Chance, I'm looking at the time here, and I've got a couple of other callers. Thanks for calling in, mate, and call in again,
no,
and we'll carry on chatting.
Yeah, okay. We'll chat some more later.
All right, mate. All the best. Now we're going to take a chance. Are you an ABBA fan, Chance? Tell me by any chance. Hey?
Hello, Scottish John. Welcome to RBN, by the way.
Hey?
I just got to tell you, I'm a huge Waylon Jennings fan. I have his portrait hanging in my living room.
Oh, God. Do you want to hear my Waylon story?
Oh, I love Waylon. I wanted to tell you now, I'm originally from the Northeast. I moved down here to West Virginia about 10 years ago. I'm in the Greenbrier Valley. And for your information, the majority of folks here, I would say upwards of 80 to 85% are of Scottish, Welsh, and Irish origin.
Bound to be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is in southern West Virginia in the Greenbrier Valley.
Yeah.
And where I come from, the Northeast originally, I would say maybe, when I grew up there, it was more, maybe 25% Irish, and then it dwindled down to maybe 10 to 15%. But down, like I said, down here, most of the folks are of Scottish, Welsh, or Irish origin. Yeah, the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just a little fact. I wanted to ask you now, Scottish John. Now, I'm not particularly fond of the English. Can you tell me what? I really am not. But can you tell me what are the relations between each of these groups as pertaining to the English, the Scottish, the Irish, and the Welsh?
Okay. Now, you mustn't get confused between your ordinary English people. Who, trust me, They're no different than you and me.
I realize that. I lived
in the north of England, in the Manchester area, from the early 72 till 81. I lived there 9 years. And, man, they were some of the best years of my life. Great people. I got involved in some great things. I got into amateur musicals, which were thoroughly enjoyable. I got to go and see a great football team called Manchester United, and I was lucky to catch the last two seasons of a guy called George Best, who many consider to be...
Oh, yeah, I remember George Best. Oh, yeah.
The greatest footballer who ever lived. Can I tell you my favourite story about George Best?
You sure can, Scottishtown.
He became an alcoholic, unfortunately, because all the fame and fortune that came his way.
Was it over a woman by any chance?
Well, hang on. A woman's involved in this story. It's a very funny story, actually. He was dating this Norwegian girl. Oh God, I can't remember her name. It was Maria something, and she was Miss World at the time. You know, the beauty competition, and he was dating her. And they'd spent the night at a casino in Manchester, and he won a buttload of money. I think he said they won about £5,000. He's telling this story to a chat show host on television. And they get back to the hotel, and she's lying on the bed in her little negligee, and there's all this £5,000 in banknotes lying on the bed. And he gets on the phone to the night service and orders a bottle of champagne. And it just so happened that the wee fella, the night porter who brought the champagne up, was a wee guy from Belfast, George's hometown. So he comes in and he lays the champagne down on the bedside table, and he turns to walk out, and he can't stop himself. He turns around and says, "George, where did it all go wrong?" He's got Miss World swimming in £5,000 on the bed, and this wee man thinks, "Where did it all go wrong?" That's a cracking story.
That is now. I wish you the best now. I'm not going to ask you one more question, if you don't mind, Scottish John.
Go on.
About your homeland. About this legend of the Loch Ness Monster. What do you think of that?
Do you know what I heard there the other week? She was actually down in the River Thames. She'd taken a little vacation. Yeah, she was photographed in the River Thames. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Theresa May had fallen off Westminster Bridge. That what it was. It wasn't the Loch Ness Monster. I beg your pardon. That was a mistake on my part. And listen, Chance, when you're talking to me, you just call me John. It's Scottish John in the third person, but ear to ear here, mate. You just need to say John, all right?
All right, but I hope Theresa May didn't come up for air, did she?
Oh, God almighty. What do you think? They're all bloody oxygen thieves, aren't they?
Okay, Scottish John. God bless, and I wish you the best of luck now.
Okie dokie. Thanks a lot. Now, who's this next here? This Steve Elkins, number one. Are you there, pal?
I am here. Hey, Scottish John, welcome aboard RBN. Welcome
Thank
aboard.
Thank you.
Well, enjoying the show.
I didn't do enough homework. I kind of ran out of stuff there, so I'll know in future.
Now, hey, you've got 4 more days to go, right?
Oh, for God's sake, aye. Yeah.
Yes, well, it's Tuesday. You got Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there'll be a lot to talk about. I deliberately avoided the sort of current political stuff for this reason. I just kind of wanted to take this opportunity just as a way of introducing myself to the listeners, sort of give them a bit of my background to know, you know, well, who is this guy? You know, it's not just some foreign dude with a strange accent. So hopefully I've sort of dispensed enough information. And never did get Waylon's autograph on my guitar. I got Willie's, and I got Emmylou Harris. And Emmylou Harris, I have to say, she's over in Norway at the moment playing. I saw some video clips of her over the weekend. She's 72 years old, still sings like a bird. Oh, my God, I love that woman.
You know, John and I were talking about country music, and I said, I'm not really into country. I'm somewhat, but he said, you know, I said, because it's always so depressing, you know. the drinking song, the heartbreak, the breaking up, the wife cheating on you.
Yeah.
And John reminded me that if you actually play the country song backwards, he gets his job back, he stops drinking, and he gets his wife back if you play it backwards.
Wow. God, I never heard that one before. Said Scottish John being very polite on air.
There you go. There you go. Hey, well, welcome aboard. I'll talk to you here real soon.
All right, mate. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Yeah. You play it backwards. Yeah, if you play it backwards, you get the devil, they say. Anyway, I'll just round off that story about Waylon. I first saw Waylon actually in London at Wembley Arena with the Highwaymen tour with Johnny and Willie and Chris Christopherson, and that was magic. Then I came to Austin for a holiday in 93. And I found this magazine, and it just gave you a listing of all the country artists. I said, oh, I want to go and see Waylon. So I called this number. He was playing in Dollywood over in Tennessee, but hell, I was going to go anyway. Took forever to get there. And when it had all finished, I decided I didn't want to stay in a motel there. It's been a bit of a hang-up. And I saw that I'm just going to try and get back into Knoxville and get on a bus and go to Nashville. And I was hitching a ride at the side of the road up in Pigeon Forge, and the cop stopped and says, you know, sir, the people don't do this anymore, you know. I said, well, I ain't got much of an option. Anyway, eventually, I got picked up, and they dropped me at the highway, the interstate highway that went back into Knoxville. And I thought, well, I'm not going to stand here again for another couple of hours like I did back in Pigeon Forge. I'm just going to walk. So I walked down the hard shoulder there at the side of the highway. I've got my guitar. I'd taken my guitar because I wanted Waylon to autograph it, and they wouldn't let me meet them, swines. And I'm walking down here in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden I see these headlights come on in the woods, and these thick trees, and this car horn honking, and these voices shouting, and I thought, okay. I just kind of waved and carried on walking. And a couple of minutes later, here's this pickup truck pulls up right just a couple of yards away from me, and I thought, oh, for God's sake, what's going to happen here? And I thought of that scene in Deliverance with Ned Beatty. What happened to him? And right then, this old van stopped and picked me up and took me to Knoxville. But that was a night I won't forget in a hurry. So whenever I hear that tune, the banjo playing, the theme from Deliverance, dueling banjos, whoa, that reminds me of that night. Speaking of Glenn Coe earlier, I just remember I wanted to throw in there, you've got to forgive me, I'm a wee bit nervous on my first show, you know. Poor old Glenn Campbell, as a result of that Glenn Coe massacre with the McDonald's and the Campbells, I actually visited a pub there about 10 years ago when I was over on holiday with my ex-missus, and we were touring around Scotland. We were at Glen Coe, and we went into this pub, and there was a big plaque up. Apparently, Glenn Campbell, when he'd been over there touring years ago, had wanted to go into this pub and have a beer, and they wouldn't serve him. And they put this plaque up to say, we refused Glenn Campbell because of the Glen Coe massacre. Poor old Glenn. I mean, the guy had learned to play the bagpipes, and he's a brilliant bagpipe player. But some people just can't forgive and forget. But so here you go. All right, I'm getting a message here. Baram, baram, bam, bam. So I never got Waylon's autograph on my guitar. Oh, you skipped the last break. Tried again, actually, when Waylon released an album called Waymore's Blues Part 2. And he was over in London at the BBC, and he was being interviewed on air. And so I went down to the BBC headquarters there in Portland Place, and I walked into the reception, and I says, look, Waylon Jennings is up there on the Johnny Walker show. Now, when he leaves, is he going to come out here? Is he going to leave by the front door? And the receptionist said, yep. So I sat there, and they were playing the show over at Tannoy's, and I'm listening. And the show come to an end, so I'm looking up there over at the opening to where Waylon's supposedly going to come walking out, and I'm waiting and waiting. And I'm thinking, well, okay, he's going to have a few minutes chat to the DJ at the end of the show. But I walk up to the receptionist and say, look, is he still? Yeah, he's still there. He hasn't left yet. So I sat and I sat and I sat. And finally, I went back and I says, look, has Whalen left the building or what? So she called over some guy. Oh, yeah, he left half an hour ago through a different door. I says, yes, swine. So, never did get his autograph, but got Willie's and got Emmy Lou Harris. So, there you go. There you go. So, what am I going to tell you now for the last couple of minutes here? Why don't we, Mike, why don't we play out with the whole of that song, Letter from America, and let the listeners hear the lyrics and listen to the story that it tells, and hopefully they'll enjoy it. The Proclaimers, Letter from America.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.